Very happy to see your presence this morning. We have quite a few out considering the weather, and it's thankful that you put the effort out to come and worship God this morning. We'd like to study with you this morning on the subject of walking with God. I'm sure that many of you enjoy walking. It's good for your health. Right now, I'm not able to walk too far. My back starts bothering me, but I remember back when Brother Bob used to walk a lot, and his mother and his aunts, and walk around Sharon Woods. And so it's good when we can walk. My wife still walks quite a bit with her dog. But we want to talk about walking with God. It's important that we, as children of God, we walk with God. There are few subjects that people seek to know more about than the nature of God. It's important that we learn all that we can about God. We know that nature reveals certain things about God. The fact that there's a creator with power and divinity can be known from the things that we see in our world. When we see all the beauties of God's creation, the sunsets and the moon, the stars, the mountains, the flowers, all the beauties of God's creation, we see God. We know that all these things didn't happen accidentally. In Romans 1 and verse 20, Paul says that those that deny God are without excuse. He says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And so when we see the beauties of God's creation, we see the evidence that there is God. Yet that is all that can be learned from nature concerning God. Of course, we learn from the Word of God. The Bible reveals to us much about God. Only by the Bible, God's revelation of himself to man, can one know the identity, the mind, the nature, and the love of God. In every page of the Bible is presented God's desire for man to be close to him, to know him, and allow him to bless them. Yes, God created man. He loves us, each and every one of us, and he is concerned about us, and he wants us to be close to him. And that is the purpose of all that God has done since he has made man. In Revelation 21 and verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." And so God dwells with his people. He is near us when we are his children. God is a personal God, and we can walk with him. The Bible speaks of God as a personal, social being. So much so, the writers of the Bible referred to God in human terms. For example, it speaks of the heart of God, his hands, his eyes, his ears, his feet, different parts. Of course, God is a spirit, and he doesn't have the physical parts that we have. Yes, it pictures us as though he were a man. One of the significant ways the Bible promotes the idea that God is a personal, social being is by stating that certain men walked with God. And so the Bible reveals to us that certain individuals did walk with God, and that we can walk with God today. We notice that these are figurative words in Exodus 33 and verse 20. "But he said, You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." Of course, these are figurative words. God doesn't literally have a face like you and I. He is a spirit. But he says that man cannot see his face and live. Walking with God is only used three times in the scriptures. Enoch walked with God. In Genesis 5, verse 22 through 24, it says, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so here Enoch was a man that walked with God. He was near, close to God. Also Noah walked with God. In Genesis 6 and verse 9, this is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And so Noah was a great man in that he was able to walk with God. Another example of one walking with God was Levi. Walked with God. Levi, yes, the son of Jacob, or called Israel. There were 12 sons, and Levi was one of the sons. And he walked with God. In Malachi 2, verses 4 through 9, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him, for the fear wherewith he feared me was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equality, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And so we notice here three individuals, Enoch, Noah, and Levi, walked with God. What does the Bible mean when it says certain men walk with God? It means intimacy, being close to God, fellowship, a close relationship, communion with the personal God. And so these individuals were very close to God. They had fellowship, a close relationship with him. One way that this is expressed is in the case of Abraham. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Abraham walked with God, but I'm sure that he did. Because in James 2 and 23, the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so Abraham was a righteous man, and he was called the friend of God. And of course, to be a friend of God is to walk with God. Also in the case of Levi, in Malachi 2, verses 4 and 5, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. And so Levi, the son of Jacob, he had reverence and respect and feared God. And God blessed him because of this. God had a covenant partnership with the house of Levi. We know that Levi received the cities in that promised land, and they were to oversee the tabernacle. The high priest and the priests were of the tribe of Levi. In Numbers 16, verses 8 and 9, then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them? And so because Levi walked with God, God blessed the tribe of Levi. In view of its meaning, it is something all of us should desire, to walk with God, to enjoy an intimate, close, personal relationship with God. Each and every one of us as Christians, children of God, can walk with God. J.R. Baxter expressed it in these words, what should be the desire of us all. He wrote these words, "I hold to the hand of my Savior and friend. He shields me from evil till dangers all end. He'll take me to heaven where voices now blend. I hold to the hand of my Lord." A beautiful song that we sing. We hold to the hand of the Lord. This is the close, intimate relationship that all of us should have with God. God only walks with one manner of man. If we are to walk with God, we must be that kind of man or that kind of person. The manner or type of man that can walk with God is exemplified by the case of Noah. When we look at Noah, he walked with God. Well, we can be like Noah was. In Genesis 6, verse 9, this is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And so we should strive to be like Noah and to walk with God. Let's examine the characteristics which made him fit for walking with God. Noah was a righteous man. Being righteous simply meant that he did the right thing, that he obeyed God. In Hebrews 11, verses 4 through 12, we read there about Abel and Enoch and about Noah. They were righteous men. They did what was right. They pleased God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. And so Abel was not like Cain. Cain was not righteous. He did not obey God. Abel did. And then by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And so Noah was a righteous man. Enoch was righteous and Abel. And we need to follow their example. These scriptures tell us what it means to be righteous. Here are their characteristics. They had faith in God. They believed God. They believed what God said. In Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we must have faith in God and believe God. Believe all that he says. Then they obeyed God. Not only did they believe, but they obeyed. Abel worshiped as God commanded. He offered up animal sacrifice. Cain did not. Enoch pleased God with the life that he lived. Noah did all that God commanded him. Yes, he built the ark as God commanded. Righteousness means conforming to the divine standard that God has given. These things, faith, obedience, are what was involved in conforming to the divine standard. It took faith on their part. It took obedience. The same is true today. God's commands are righteous. In Psalms 119, 172, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And a righteous person is keeping the commandments of God, obeying God. Faith and obedience is what God sought in men, if they were to be fit to walk with him. If we don't believe, if we don't obey, then we're not walking with God. These things God still seeks in men who would walk with him. Noah was said to be perfect. Perfect here means that he was complete, well-rounded, no essential quality that was lacking in him. Yes, he was a complete person. God does not demand sinlessness of us, but that we have all the qualities that he desires. We're not going to be perfect in the sense we never commit sin, but we can be as Noah was. Yes, he was a well-rounded man. Also, we're to have love. Yes, to be complete, we must love God, and we must love our neighbor as ourselves. In Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so to walk with God, we must love God with all of our hearts. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Also the Christian graces. We're to add these things to our faith when we're walking with God. In 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8, And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is courage. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in walking with God, we add these things to our faith. Yes, knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and love. Also the fruit of the Spirit. When we walk with God, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Beautiful things here that we as Christians are to have. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so when we walk with God, we must bear the fruit of the Spirit. Also, we must put on the whole armor of God to protect us against the devil. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, verse 10, beginning, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so one who walks with God, we put on this whole armor and take the sword of the Spirit against the devil. Also, the Beatitudes. Jesus teaches us the Beatitudes that we as Christians are to have. In Matthew 5, verse 3 through 10, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so when we walk with God, we apply all these to our lives. Noah was perfect in his generation. And Titus 2 and 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Enoch stood out among his contemporaries. Enoch walked with God. Then later he was translated. The Bible says he did not taste of death, that God took him? And when we are dead, can people say that we were righteous, that we were a complete person, well-rounded Christian, and that we walk with God? Yes, when we have our funeral, what can the preacher say about us? God only walks with those who are in agreement with him. Yes, we must be in agreement with God in everything that he says. In Amos 3 and verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? This verse means more than to agree with what God says. It means to make an appointment to meet together at an appointed time and at an appointed place. If you would ask someone, let's take a walk around Sharon Woods, the lake. You need to pick out a time and a place where you're going to walk. You can't just say, well, let's take a walk someday. If we walk with God, we must do so at the appointed time and place. God has revealed in his word the time and the place that we're to walk with him. The time is at such a time that we are faithful Christians. When we're children of God, then we can walk with God. One who is not a child of God cannot walk with God. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 through 18, says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yes, God will walk with us. He says, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Come out from among them and be separate. We notice in Jeremiah 31, it tells about God telling us that there's a new covenant, that we today, as Christians, when we walk with God, we're under this new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their minds, write them on their hearts. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And so God has made a covenant, a new covenant, with his children. And to walk with God, we're under this new covenant. Also, the place that we're to walk with God is in Christ. It's when you're in Christ that you can walk with God. In Colossians 2 and verse 6, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We must be in Christ to walk in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in his body, the church. The church is the place where God has placed salvation. In Colossians 1, 18 and 19, he is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so the place to walk with God is to be in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ, you can't walk with God. Ephesians 4 and 4 says there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. That one body is the church. Jesus Christ built his church. And to walk with God, we must be in the church. The Lord adds the saved to the church. To be in Christ, one must be baptized into Christ. In Galatians 3, 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so to walk with God, we must be in Christ, and we're baptized into Christ. Many say that I can walk with God because I'm a good person. I don't have to be a member of the church. Well, that's not true. Morality will not save a person. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But we must come to Jesus in obedience and be in his body, the church. Others say that I can walk with God as a member of any religious group. It doesn't matter what church I'm a member of. I don't have to be a member of the church that Jesus built to walk with God. Yes, you do. Jesus built his church, and you can't be saved outside of it. Denominationism will not save you. Some say I'm a member of the church, but it doesn't matter how I live. I still walk with God. No, if you're not faithful to God, then you're not walking with God. Even though one may be a member of the church, there are appointed places in which the church members must walk with God. And they include in his paths. We must walk in the path that God has given us to walk. In Isaiah 2 and verse 3, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And so we must walk in the path that God has given us. One must walk in the light. In Isaiah 2 and verse 5, "O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord." 1 John 1 and verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And so to walk with God, we must walk in the light and in his path. We must walk in Jesus' manner of life. In 1 John 2 and verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." We're to walk as Jesus walked. Walk in his footsteps. We must walk in God's law and commandments. In 2 John 1 and verse 6, "This is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." And so God has given certain commandments, and to walk with God, we must keep those commandments. Psalms 119 and verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." How can we know that we are the appointed time, that we're at the appointed time and place? How can we know that we're walking with God? Romans 8 and 6, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Spirit has revealed in the Scriptures what we must do to walk with God. And when we obey the teachings of God's Word, we know that we're walking with God. In 1 John 2 and verse 4, "He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." In conclusion, to walk with God, we must be the kind of person God will walk with. Yes, he walked with Enoch. He walked with Noah. He walked with Levi. Is God willing to walk with you and I? Do we have the faith, or we have the obedience to God that we can walk with him? We must be in the appointed time and place. And that is, you must be a member of the church that Jesus built. You must be a Christian and be in the church in order to walk with God. And so we can sing this song, "My God and I will go, for yea together. We'll walk and talk as good friends should and do. The earth will pass with it common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly." Yes, we can walk and talk with God. Are we walking with God? Are we like Noah, a righteous man? He had faith. He obeyed God in every command. And so we can walk with God today if we have that faith and obedience to him. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. To walk with God, you have to obey the gospel, become a Christian. That is the time and the place. when you become a Christian, you're in Christ, you must believe and have faith in God, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. The blood of Christ will cleanse you, and the Lord will add you to His church. And then you can walk with God, and you can go home to heaven when this life is over. And so if you're here and you need to obey the gospel, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?